Assalamu alaikum, everyone. I hope you're doing well. My apologies for running late. We're having some technical difficulties, but I think they've been resolved now. And we're live. I hope this last week of Ramadan is being taken advantage of, inshallah, with dua and making sure that we end strong, inshallah. All right, so today I'm going to update you on a position that I brought up on this channel before, and I feel like I have an obligation to sort of update all the public viewers, because obviously PIF members know about the trade, but I feel like since I did mention it publicly, I should mention when my position has changed. And so we're going to do that in this live, and I'll tell you why I sold. As always, it's not financial advice. Be sure to do your own due diligence before making any investing decisions. And last time I mentioned that I had a treat for you in the next live. The treat is that, inshallah, from here until the end of Ramadan, so Tuesday, midnight, Eastern Standard Time, you can use the code Ramadan24 and you get 35% off of membership. And if you do intend on using this code, I think sooner is better than later, because we have some trades that we might do from now until Tuesday. So why not get the full benefit? So for those who are unfamiliar, PIF membership includes the ability to follow the portfolios that I manage myself using real money, manage it, to monitor it, to trade for trade, get notified whenever we buy or sell, join our exclusive Discord community, which includes halal conscious investors who are trying to help one another out in doing well for themselves and also staying true to Islamic principles, and also access our watch list, which includes all of our buy below, sell above prices for the different assets that we follow, as well as deep dives into different stocks and cryptocurrencies. And so we are not a day trading company. We are not a day trading service. We don't do day trading. Typically our investments are held for longer periods of time. However, we do the swing trade, the occasional swing trade. And in fact, I think you can consider the position that I'm going to talk to you about today somewhat of a swing trade. So let's talk first about, I think, something that's really important, which is the state of the economy and specifically the prospects for interest rate cuts. So today, Fed Chair Jerome Powell mentioned that he needed more evidence that inflation is easing before they cut rates. And this is what we sort of knew all along. We knew that the Fed didn't really know when it was going to cut rates. And I don't really blame them. It's kind of hard to figure out whether, at least per the metric that they're using, whether inflation is going to reach 2% anytime soon. It doesn't, if I had to guess, I think that there's a bigger possibility of for a June rate cut than there is a possibility for a rate cut. Now, Jerome Powell did mention that recent readings on both job gains and inflation have come in higher than expected. The recent data do not, however, materially change the overall picture, which continues to be one of solid growth, strong but rebalancing labor market, and inflation moving down towards 2% on a sometimes bumpy path. I doubt that it's going to get to 2% anytime soon. But so long as there's progress towards that, that's really what we are looking for. And the market is actually pricing in a 61% chance of a rate cut in June. So the market seems even more optimistic than on Monday when I updated you on these numbers. So it does seem like the market is taking Jerome Powell for his word, in terms of them not being concerned with the data that's coming out regarding inflation, and the data not changing the Fed chair's mind. That being said, I do think that the Fed is kind of looking for a reason to cut. And the reason why I think that is because there's $400 billion on the line in terms of a rate cut or 2 to 3 rate cuts. So if you look at the difference in interest payments that the U.S. government would owe on the debt that it has, the difference in interest payments with a 150 basis point Fed cut, so 1.5 percentage points Fed cut, the difference would be $1.6 trillion without the cut of 150 basis point versus $1.2 trillion. So there's $400 billion on the line in interest that is contingent on what the Fed decides to do. So I don't really think that this is not a consideration, even though the Fed does, claim to be independent. I have to think that this is impacting the Fed's decision and its stance. And perhaps because the 2% number is a made-up number anyway, the target that is, perhaps that target ends up changing and they say, you know what, 3% isn't that bad after all. So maybe our new target is 3%. So needless to say, there's a lot of ambiguity with regards to the interest rate situation in the months ahead. That being said, I think all of this ambiguity just goes to support the thesis behind something like Bitcoin, a place where people can sort of escape the system and store their purchasing power. Now, speaking of Bitcoin, let's talk about the position that I wanted to talk to you about today, which is CleanSpark. And CleanSpark is a Bitcoin miner. So they make money from mining Bitcoin. And the reason why I sold it, now I sold 2/3 of my position last week on Tuesday. The reason why, so I have a number of different metrics that I use to judge these miners by. So one of them being price to sales. And at the time, CleanSpark was the most expensive. And if you just take price to sales, it was the most expensive amongst the miners that I follow. So I felt reducing the position, taking profits was the right thing to do. And now it's fallen to, this is a screenshot taken today, it's fallen to 3rd spot in terms of most expensive. And also, I do like to, one of the things that I like to look at is insider ownership. And insider ownership, so more insider ownership is better because it aligns the interests of the insiders with the interests of the shareholders. And CleanSpark has insider ownership of just 3.33%. So on the lower side in terms of insider ownership. That being said, it does have a larger market cap. So, you know, keep in mind, this is a percentage. So even though, you know, 3.33% may seem on the smaller side, it does represent a larger dollar amount. So I sold, as I mentioned, last Tuesday, and then I sold again on Monday, the remaining 1/3. And I'll tell you, so when I sold last week, it was $23.30. And then I sold close to $19 on Monday. I closed out my position. So here's why I ended up sort of taking the last 1/3 off of the board. So last week on Thursday, the day before the markets closed, because Friday they were closed for Easter. So last week, Wednesday, Wednesday, the director, Matthew Schultz, sold close to, well, $8.5 million worth of shares. The week before, the O had sold a similar amount, close to $9 million in shares. And the day after, so Thursday, the day after Matthew Schultz sold, they announced $800 million at the market dilution of additional shares. So $800 million worth of additional shares were going to be created, and that caused the stock price to plunge. Now, I initially sold the 2/3 before this happened. Alhamdulillah, I sold that because of the pricing of the stock, and I felt it was fully priced in, basically. Future prospects were fully priced in. But the remaining 1/3 came after this dilution event. And also, things started to, they started to stink. So Wainwright announced that they had it the day of the dilution event. They announced that they had a $27 price target per share for CleanSpark. Now, why is this stinky? Why does this stink? Well, because if you look at their announcement, Wainwright is the one that is selling their shares at the market. So they should not be commenting on, they should not have a price target. There's a conflict of interest here. Why is there a conflict of interest? Because Wainwright gets 3% commission on gross sales. So they get a commission on the price that they, the amount that they sell. And so this seems like, you know, something where, you know, Wainwright should probably not have a, or not publish a price target because there's a conflict of interest here. Now, CLSK holders have benefited from dilution in the last year. So where, so even though they've been diluted substantially, the price of the stock is up 7.25x since last year. Now, the market cap of the company, to give you an idea of how much dilution has gone on, the market cap has increased 22.5 times since last year, but the share price has only increased 7.25 times since last year. And that's because of all the dilution that has happened. Now, one conclusion from this, one takeaway from this is that actually the management, the dilution that they've done has actually been in the shareholders' favor because yes, they have diluted, but they've created more value for the shareholder than the amount that they diluted. This is correct as a, so when you're looking at the last year. However, I have to believe that this is not something that can sustain itself indefinitely. Right now, to give an analogy, it's like the CLSK holders are swimming against a constant stream of dilution. And the shareholders have, or the market has had enough energy to push them upstream despite the downstream pressure that they're swimming against from dilution. I have to think, though, that eventually this downstream pressure is going to take the stock price with it, and eventually there's going to be a day of reckoning for CLSK. And I'd rather sell before the top than after the top. So I'm not saying that the top is anywhere near. I don't know when the top is. I don't know when the market changes its mood. But I'm definitely, so far, based on, you know, what has happened, I'm not really, you know, things are not inducive of increased trust. And one of the, and sort of the nail in the coffin, which caused me to sort of pull the trigger on Monday, in addition to the price actually being close to our sell above price, which was $19. So we got that. And alhamdulillah, for the position itself, for the public growth company, growth portfolio, we've made, you know, close to 6,000. So it's been a profitable position, a profitable trade. However, sort of the nail in the coffin was, there is a provision in the announcement that was published on Thursday, and it said that on April 1st, October 1st of each year, there's an evergreen provision wherein the number of restricted stock units automatically increases. So automatic increase of the maximum number of shares of common stock available under the 2000 plan to 15% of the company's outstanding shares of common stock in each case as of the last day of the immediately preceding month. So what does that mean? So restricted stock units are basically shares that are given to management as compensation. And they're typically a big part of any executives, especially for public company, any executive compensation. A big part of that are the is the stock grants that management gets. And the idea behind this is that management should share in the success of the company, and it should be penalized for a performing badly, the stock price performing badly. And therefore, this would align management's interest with the stockholders' interest. However, what they've done here is they've said the amount of shares, the number of shares that they're going to give to management increases to 15% of whatever the total number of shares is. So if the number of shares is, 1 billion, then the number of shares allocated to management for compensation to management is 150 million shares. If the number of shares goes up to 2 billion, then the number of shares with which management can be compensated increases to 300 million. So then management really doesn't have any disincentive to dilute shareholders because the number of shares that are being allocated to them is increasing. So while the shareholders are being diluted, management is not being diluted. And that doesn't seem like a good alignment of interests between management and shareholders. Again, I don't know if, what CLSK stock is going to do. I do know that they have a lot of dilution that they have to make up for with, announcements of increasing hash power and results that so far, if you look at the last year, have actually been enough to increase the stock price many times more than the amount of dilution. But how long that this dynamic remains is anybody's guess. It's possible that it remains for another 12 months, and perhaps in 12 months, CLSK is, seven times where it is right now. I doubt that's going to be the case. However, I don't feel, given that there are so many other Bitcoin miners out there, I don't feel obligated to, and especially since we were in the profit on our CLSK position, I don't feel obligated to stick with them, given this unique conflict of interest that I see with CleanSpark. And so that's why I sold. And so I just wanted to make sure that I shared with you my thinking there, and I shared with you this update on my CleanSpark position. I will probably opt for a different miner in place of CleanSpark. So yeah, I ended up, as a result of this analysis, I ended up selling, as I mentioned on Monday, the remainder, the third of my position. So I do want to remind you all that if you use the code Ramadan24, no spaces in when you're checking out, if you apply that code, you get 35% off membership. So if you thought that the membership was expensive, and by the way, one trade could pay for the membership. Not all of our trades are spot on, but I think, especially recently, our trades have been quite good. And I think, one trade could pay for your membership. Two trades may put you in profit. So I think it's a really good deal. So check it out. You can see a list of all the benefits on the plans page. And you can sign up on app.practicalislamicfinance.com. The offer ends Tuesday at midnight Eastern Standard Time, inshallah. And with that, I will take some questions. I saw a lot of activity in the chat. Do leave a like if you enjoyed this overview. I'd really appreciate that. First link doesn't work. I'll check on that and make sure it's updated. Why did I leave Turkey? I will inshallah update you all on that in a separate video. Rashad, yeah, and you've been mentioning that, Rashad, for a while, and I think, there's a non-trivial chance that that ends up being the case. I do think that there will be a cut this year, though, because of the cost of not having a cut. Great call on CLSK selling. Thank you, Rashad. I appreciate it. They talk about bloodbath of BTC soon? Is that thing sure? No, it's definitely not sure. I would not panic sell at all. This is a natural part of the Bitcoin cycle. You have these pullbacks, and by the way, we've had 4 months of consecutive gains in Bitcoin. So I think a pullback, and even if you compare this pullback with historical pullbacks during this period of the bull run, hasn't been much. So it's been quite resilient. So I would not be panicking. Not a good way to invest. Thank you. Yes, PIF to the moon. Also Dogecoin to the moon, if you haven't got the memo yet. A more question about Turkey. Yeah, I will make a more dedicated video to that, inshallah. A lot of learnings. Just tell us, what is the ruling on trading with prop firms? I think that depends on the specifics of the arrangement. Say one trade can pay for. So a question is, when you say one trade can pay for the membership, how much do I need to invest to achieve this? Well, I think that you should be at least... Well, first off, I think that I'll give you, like, for the growth portfolio, we aim for a 30% annualized rate of return. For our crypto portfolio, it's more than that. For our dividend portfolio, it's less than that. But our dividend portfolio, we'd like it to be more stable, give us some cash, periodic cash. For our growth portfolio, we're prioritizing growth. For our crypto, we're basically prioritizing growth as well. So if we said our growth portfolio had a priority of, like, our aim is a 30% annualized return, then you would have to have, assuming no discount, you would have to have at least $1,000 invested to get a $300 return, and that would pay for your membership, right? But I think that, you know, if you just have $1,000 to invest, then I would wait on, you know, focusing on investing, to be honest, unless you're trying to learn. Now, that's something else, I guess. So the lessons that you learn, you may end up using them for the next 10, 20 years, and they'll pay, like, I don't know, 1,000x what your membership costs. So there's different ways to look at it. So you could either say, well, I'm only going to consider the actual trade, the actual money that I make as value from the membership. I think that's probably short-sighted, in which case I would say you would need $1,000. On the other hand, if you take this as an opportunity to learn, like, okay, I just want to learn investing and learn, you know, and go, because I think that the proper temperament and attitude with investing takes around 2 cycles to acquire. So you could acquire that, you could learn these lessons and go through these cycles with a small amount of money, but start earlier in your life. And then those lessons will pay off, to use a common term in political scene, bigly. They'll pay off bigly throughout your investing journey. That being so it depends on how you look at it. If you look at it from a lessons perspective and just, like, getting in the process and learning investing that happens with the community through your membership, then those lessons are invaluable, right? They'll stay with you your entire life. If you look at it just from a dollars perspective, then, you know, $1,000, 30% of that is 300, that pays for your membership. That being said, like, if you look at our CleanSpark position, we made $6,000 from that trade, right? Which pays for, like, what, 30 years of, assuming you use the discount, of a premium membership. So it really depends. I mean, even though we target 30%, we may achieve more than that. We may not achieve that in a particular year, but we may achieve way more than that as well. So, yeah, hopefully that helps. Salam Arkan, would you please list all publicly traded Bitcoin mining companies that you are comfortable from a halal perspective? Oh, so if you go back to the the what I showed you guys. So basically all of these I'm comfortable with exception to the, and I'll have to review them in case these numbers have changed, but with exception to Stronghold and Riot, which don't meet our, which have more reliance on interest than our 2.5% maximum threshold. So all of these are fine, inshallah. At least I'm comfortable with them from a halal perspective. Thanks. Yeah. More likes is nice. Is it time to sell Solana? No, I have not sold yet. Wayakum, inshallah, Abdullah, will get you taken care of. For everyone else, please don't forget to apply the discount code before you subscribe so that you get the discount. And so without any other questions, I would like to thank you all for coming. And until next time, make sure to take care of yourself. Assalamu alaikum and peace be upon you all.